No.
I'm Nicolette Thomas, and this is my podcast, Watching with Friends. Every week, we watch and discuss a show or movie, and I invite a friend or two to join in.
Today, Sarah and I will be discussing the 2011 Disney Channel original movie, Starstruck. Christopher Wilde is a famous pop star and teen idol, whose music is very successful all around the world. Sarah Olson of Kalamazoo, Michigan, is an obsessive fan and seeks to use her family trip to Hollywood to visit her grandmother as an opportunity to meet him. Christopher, meanwhile, is on the brink of landing the movie deal of a lifetime and agrees to remain out of the tabloids in order to prove that he is serious about landing the role. Once in California, Sarah convinces her younger sister Jessica to accompany her to a nightclub where he is rumored to be delivering a surprise performance for his pseudo-girlfriend Alexis. Sarah leaves Jessica outside the club to watch the car while she goes inside in a futile attempt to meet Christopher. Fed up with waiting, Jessica leaves the car in search for Sarah and meets Christopher when he hits her in the head while opening a door. Eager to avoid being caught by the paparazzi, Christopher takes Jessica to a hospital to be examined, then brings her to his house so that he can make an appearance for the film director. He then brings Jessica home, and Jessica allows him to stay in her grandmother's garage for the night when he learns that the paparazzi have followed him. The next day, Sarah brings Jessica to Malibu Beach in hopes of running into Christopher there. Sarah goes to sit down on the beach, but Jessica recognizes Christopher's disguise and sits down with him. The two are forced to make a quick exit from the beach when the paparazzi arrive. Once they get away, Christopher shows Jessica around Los Angeles. While attempting to return to Malibu, they are again spotted by the paparazzi, but manage to elude them by driving off the main road. They lose Jessica's grandmother's car in a mud pool quicksand ditch. In the process. While making it back to Malibu, they get in a heated argument, with Jessica calling Christopher's life fake. Eventually, Christopher confides that he enjoyed hanging out with Jessica because she was not actually asking for anything from him, and they bond again. When they return to the beach, however, Christopher tells Jessica that no one can know what happened between them that day, telling her that the paparazzi would ruin her life. Heartbroken and angry, Jessica returns home to Kalamazoo with her family, but not before the paparazzi establish the connection between her and Christopher. Back in Kalamazoo, Jessica watches Christopher tell a talk show host that he never met her. Angry with the paparazzi, forcing Christopher to lie and hide himself from the real world, she confronts the paparazzi camped outside her house and tells them that she never met Christopher. Alexis finds out that Christopher has been with someone who is not famous, and she breaks up with him. The two become friends, and she goes on a date with another famous person. Christopher realizes that he is free to pursue Jessica. His best friend Stubby convinces him that he has to start making his own choices for once. Christopher then proceeds to fire his parents as his managers and turn down the movie role that made him lie and lose himself to the tabloids. After Sarah's equally Christopher-obsessed friend AJ viciously insults Jessica for what she said on television, Sarah kicks her out of the house and offers to take Jessica to the school dance. Jessica accepts, and Sarah helps her get ready for the dance. At the dance, Christopher makes an appearance and apologizes to Jessica through a song. When the paparazzi appear at the dance, he tells them that he was the one that lied and that he is crazy about Jessica. She smiles and accepts his apology, as well as him becoming her boyfriend. After this quick break, we'll be back with Sarah to discuss the movie.
Hey, no, 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 no
I'll be honest. I watched it this morning.
Nice.
So it's nice and fresh in mind.
Awesome. I watched it yesterday. Yeah, I was off yesterday. So before I went to see Rent, I watched it.
So. I remembered parts of it, mm-hmm. but I can clearly remember I've probably only ever seen this one time before.
Yeah, me too. This is like my second time watching it.
So after last week's recording, we were talking about how I love Sterling Knight.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still like, he is still very good looking.
Yeah.
All these years later, he's only a year older than us. Like, yeah, he's still a heartthrob to me. So I find it really disappointing because he is a talented singer as well. He is not the singing voice of the character.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if it was scheduling issues or budgetary, but whoever they got to sing the songs, it's not him.
Well, it could have been. It could have been too, like, I got to follow him on Twitter. Sorry. It could be like Zac Efron in the first High School Musical movie where, like, I will never know. Drew Seeley sang his part until the second movie was all Zach, but it might have been something like that where he wasn't, we don't even know. I'm just assuming that, like, Zac Efron wasn't really super confident in singing. So, sorry, hold on.
But Sterling Knight, like, one of my favorite videos to watch back in the day, back in that time, was him doing a Death Cab for Cutie cover.
Yep.
A boy can sing.
Oh, yeah.
He could have easily done it. I don't know why they went with this dub. So. Just thought I'd mention that right off the bat.
How do you feel about, basically, the way I see this movie is Sterling Knight is basically playing himself as how he would be, like, a super, he's a just an actor, right? He's not a singer.
I don't, like, know if he's ever actually published any music.
No, I'm saying in this
No, so he is a singer. He is trying to break into acting.
All right.
But you got to look at this entire cast as well, because I didn't know where the girl and her sister, I don't remember character names in this whatsoever. Yeah. I just followed the plot. So I don't know where I knew them from, but I knew them from something.
Mm-hmm.
I even knew the person who played their mom from something and I couldn't place it, but I know the face. Uh-huh. But for everyone in his life, at least for, like, the three main kind of characters that we see most of,
yeah,
it's him. So he was on Sunny with a Chance.
I love Sunny with a Chance.
His CDC. Best friend, also played by someone from Sunny with a Chance.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Brandon Michael Smith, right? Yeah.
And
Brandon
then what's her name from Jonas?
Chelsea Staub.
Yes. Who we've seen in other things. So she was clearly a Disney Channel mainstay at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, like, again, but I really enjoyed them in all of their roles. Like, this one, it wasn't as disappointing.
Right. It was kind of too refreshing to see him break out of the sun, which even though, sorry, it's super dark in my room. Even though in Sunny with a Chance, him and Brandon Michael Smith play actors. There's kind of like all that type of spin-off type thing, but, like, it's refreshing to see him in a different form, like a different.
Yeah, because it's so different from Chad Dylan Cooper.
Yeah.
Like, he is, like, aloofly charming,
mm-hmm.
whereas Chad Dylan Cooper knows he's putting on an act the entire time.
Oh, yeah. And, like, it gets on. Chad Dylan Cooper kind of gets on your nerves because you're like, all right, he knows he's being a dick. Not a dick. He's trying to be, like, overly charming and play up that celebrity gravitas that like is put on it, but like he just gets so annoying after a while. But in this one he's kind of like, yeah, they call him like he has a reputation of a spoiled punk, but like you can also see like his softer side and like how he's more vulnerable and trying to break out from singing into acting, and like it's very different than Chad Dylan Cooper, which I like.
Yes. Very, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire point of this movie is he is trying to get this acting role and he is tabloid. I mean, like this is the time of Biebs. Mm-hmm. So well, yeah. I think that's clearly where they were trying to take this kind of story from.
Mm-hmm.
Is how much attention was paid on the little Biebs back in the day.
Before rehab.
But like, I don't know, like, even though this didn't have much of a plot because he is just trying to avoid paparazzi. Mm. And it just happens to be that he keeps hitting this poor girl in the head.
That was like one of the funniest things. It's like the worst way to keep running into somebody is by them hitting, them hitting you in the head.
Like
in one way or another.
Even though there wasn't much of a plot to it, mm-hmm. it was still charming, and it wasn't trying to force anything down you. It was just there for entertainment value.
Yeah.
But it was a charming entertainment value rather than just being completely ridiculous. Hard to even like go into this movie because it's just, okay, then they're hiding from the paparazzi and enjoying themselves while they do it. And then And then you get to the point where he has to put on that mask again and she's not ready for it. And he doesn't handle things very well, but it's miscommunication.
Right. I mean, he does make up for it in the end.
Yeah, it's not trying to force more into it than what it is. Yeah. And I think at its core, its lessons are to not just let things happen to you like he does, like mm-hmm. actually do something that you want to do.
Yeah.
Because like this entire situation is created all by like little happens of chance for him.
Oh yeah. Well, it's also too, he's like, and I think part of it is it's kind of like a weird like twist of fate or like universe. Like everybody says, oh, you know, the universe has a funny way of, it's kind of like how he, because he's the way he is in a way, I see it that, what's her name? Jessica kind of like brings out a better, I say it a lot, but like will bring out a better side, like a more like Jessica kind of grounds him. And I think that's good for his character and kind of what he starts craving as the story unfolds between them, even though there really isn't like a plot. It's kind of like you said, it's like the story's kind of all over the place, but it's like they're hiding and then they're this. But I think a lot of it, what draws them together, is that this the Jessica girl that he like falls in love with or whatever, kind of grounds him and makes him see life outside of the paparazzi and outside of the popularity and like what a quote unquote normal life would be. And like he kind of create, like it's kind of like grass is always greener scenario where like he doesn't have that, he has the paparazzi and the snobby fake girlfriend and the everything us normal people kind of like idolize. And then you meet a normal person who's totally not into him, totally like at first she's like annoyed, almost like it almost seems like she's annoyed by him, like she thinks that he's all fake and all this stuff because of, you know, his paparazzi and how the press portray him. So she's like not about that. And I think also that kind of pulls them together because this is like the one girl he can't impress by just being, what's his name, Christopher or something?
Christopher Wilde.
Yeah, by not being Christopher Wilde, like the one person that he can't impress. is the one per like the one person that grounds him and like kind of shows him the other side of being like, it's not all about being popular and famous and in the spotlight. And so, I mean, I think, yeah. And like, I, like you said, he doesn't handle it well and miscommunications and all that, but.
Well, 'cause you have to think about, he's 17 years old. He says, he's like flat out, I'm 17.
Yeah.
And
he's like, what? 12 or something.
His two parents are his managers.
Yeah,
they don't act like parents.
No, they're always business. And how can they make money off of him now? And oh, you can't do this because you're gonna lose these people, and you have to always be like on your game. And so it's also kind of like, you know, he doesn't have a childhood. He doesn't have what we would go through as normal teens, like what we went through like in high school and all this. He's automatically has to go from baby to like quasi adult in a way where like he has to think about his brand
as
opposed to having fun and being a 17 year old boy.
Yeah,
for the most part.
So the other thing I have to bring up is we never see his sister, but we meet her husband. And her husband drives a clunker because he's paying off his student loan debt.
Yep.
Christopher, I'm wondering, so, right? Like, I'd be so interested to like learn more about like their childhood and growing up. Like, were they always show parents, or was this something that he just happened to have a talent, it got picked up, and now he's got all this stuff coming to him and they're all just trying to figure out what the heck's going on?
Right.
Like, that would be interesting to me.
Or like, what was his sister's name? I can't even remember.
We don't know her name.
We just know
that the doctor at the ER is his brother-in-law.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
That's all we get.
Well, and that's another question too to be asked slash possibly answered is like how sometimes you see in a lot of popular stories is like one of the siblings becomes famous for whatever, singing, dancing, acting, pageantry, whatever. And it's kind of like, I want to say unintentionally, but I don't necessarily know if it is intentional. I'd like to think it's unintentional, but like the other siblings who aren't, you know, famous or in this way kind of get like pushed to the shadows, where like, not that they're ignored, but they're not seen as hot in higher regard as the celebrity sibling. Like,
well, because they are no longer providing the family. Right.
Exactly. That's
with money.
So like, I think it's kind of like that, where like, yes, he has a sister, but like she married a doctor. So is it the fact that she's not contributing and she's not famous like her little brother, so she kind of got not disowned but not as seen as important in the family as, you know, Christopher?
Or did she want nothing to do with it when they saw what was going on and she said peace out?
Right, that's the other thing. She might have been like, you know what, I don't want this life, I'm out, deuces. Like Kim Kardashian's brother, eventually he's just like, yeah, I'm out.
So it also makes, talking of siblings, it also makes me think of, so Jessica's sister, Sarah, is the Chris Wilde fangirl, is literally stalking this man and planning to meet up with him at some point. And I love that there's no like jealousy between the sisters.
Over him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you'd think they build it so that it's going to be like this huge piece of contention. But in fact, her sister's just like, okay, yeah, like the fame was nice for all of 2 seconds, but holy shit.
Yeah. So like, I'm not about that life.
So I find that like, I don't know, like I just really liked that. Like they didn't make it so that he was this, like, yes, he was a point of their sibling bickering, but it's because she didn't understand the fangirl notion versus like an actual like, I can't believe like you
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I appreciated that.
Right. It was, well, that was the thing. And it also showed true because Jessica, I think they played it well where, yes, Sarah's the fangirl and Jessica had once, I don't even think she really like recognizes him at first.
Oh, she has to. I mean, if you knew nothing about One Direction except for when Kelly used to have posters up, like there's a difference.
I'm saying, I think in the movie, didn't she not like?
She knew exactly who he was right away.
Yeah, but she like didn't because she wasn't a huge fan. She was just like, you're just another.
You just hit me with the door, asshole.
Right, like spoiled kid who thinks he can get, you know, his way. Which I thought too was like a good plot line because like a lot of times you see, there's another earlier movie. I can't think of the name. I think it's Disney. It might not be. It might be just another movie where it's kind of the same plot line where like celebrity teen meets fangirl and they're like always all over this one. Like you're just kind of like, oh, all right. He falls in love with a fan and blah, blah, blah. But this is kind of like a little refreshing where like she wasn't really a fan. She just saw him as like an asshole or like just some punk kid who like thinks it's all about life's all about him. The world revolves around him. So I think that was pretty refreshing where it's not like a super stalker following him around.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like have anything really else to say. Oh, actually, I do have one more thing to say because he was dating Chelsea, whatever the heck her last name is, her character. And I love that they brought up that celebrities will call their own fucking paparazzi. And like that this really isn't a real relationship. Like it's literally just for the press. And that's not something that I don't think that Hollywood likes to admit to, but it happens.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, and that's the thing. It's like they kind of call and tell you where they're going to be so they can be there. And yeah, it's kind of like the unforeseen, like every. It's almost like you don't want to think about it, but like when it happened, you're like, oh, okay. That makes sense.
But yeah, I wanted to bring that up as well, because that is something that we do see. And I love that there's a side of TikTok that's really exposing this. So I go down those rabbit holes. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense why they dated so briefly and were everywhere and then they were done, because it was all for publicity.
Unfortunately, like that, you kind of like, not that they make it known, but it's kind of like there was another, I think there's another a show about show business that they are like, oh, you have to be seen with this person X amount of times and you have to be in a relationship, but like after a couple months then you can break up, and just to get the buzz. And like sometimes it's to help one's career, like especially if it was like, say we use the example Justin Bieber era, say it was like Justin Bieber dating like a nobody singer for X amount of time, that ups her career. So like it's all the publicists and agents all coming together. It's almost like back to being old school married off, where like, you know, this father comes to this father and says, you know, I'll give you my daughter for whatever, and then
three cows and a goat.
Right, exactly. And then, like, you know, but in this time, you know, it's just enough to get their career started, and then they all break up. And then,
well, like, I also think it's to hide other scandals. Like, look at the Kardashians. Okay. I mean, so everything that happened with, not to make light of the situation, everything that happened with that Travis Scott concert.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That's terrible.
So when that happened, that's when Kim Kardashian first started dating Pete Wentz. Or not Pete Wentz.
Pete Davidson?
Yes. To like kind of take the
yeah, it like takes character. The attention away so that yeah. you're not focusing on the fact that Jesus Christ, he incited them to all riot. Push forward and it killed these people.
Yeah, and they're like basically saying, "Oh, I didn't know." It's kind of like to save her sister's reputation.
Yeah. So
yeah. Well, like, that yeah, that's the
it,
thing.
It still happens. I mean, and then yeah. there's you can tell if you look at the tabloids and like what paparazzi gets credit. Mm-hmm. There's like this certain photo group that it's literally for celebrities to say, "Hey, we're gonna be at this spot at this time, so you can take some candid photos yeah. of us."
Of us eating so neatly and not like a slob where it's all over our faces or like tripping out of the coffee
shop. The other one that freaks me out every time is the coffee walks that Camila Cabello and what's his name? I don't know him and I don't like her. The only reason I know her name is because she's
her boyfriend.
Her ex. Because I know they broke up. But because they started dating because there was rumors that he was gay. And then during the pandemic, they would go on these walks with empty coffee cups. And I'm just like, what? This is what Hollywood is doing?
It's like they got nothing else to do in their like free time. Like, come on.
I don't know. Like, so yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because I thought that was really funny that Disney actually brought that up. And the fact that they would used to, I'm not sure if they still do, make their stars date within Disney because then they can control that image.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Anything else to add on this movie?
Nope. I did like it. This would be one that like I feel like if I was bored and wanted to actually like watch something where I'd pay attention to it, not just like background noise it, I think I would like choose to watch this one.
It's definitely a cute little rom-com. Like, yeah. And I don't think there's many rom-coms in Disney Channel original movies.
No, it's usually like heartfelt and has a meaning and like Aesop's Fables and, you know.
Yeah. Like this one's just a cute little rom-com that yeah. they didn't normally do. And no. I have to appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, would I like stake my life on it? No, but, hell no. You know, but it's something I feel like I would like, you know, I don't, you know, I'd watch again just to like for the laughs or just if, you know, it was like, you know, I was bored and wanted to watch something that was like lighthearted and jokey and, you know, cute and not like Hallmark. So it's like, you know, it's cute. Like you said, it's not, Disney doesn't really do rom-coms per se. It's usually, you know, I mean, I guess you could kind of classify High School Musical as a rom-com type, but it's more musical. Like it's in that way. Yeah. Like, it's like if you took away the musical part of it, it would be a rom-com, but like
I don't even think it'd be a rom-com. I think it'd be depressing.
It would just be really sad.
But like this one, it doesn't rely on any one thing. Huh. I mean, it had good acting. Huh. Considering it's Disney Channel, like that's some pretty strong acting overall.
Yeah.
I don't know, like it was written very well for it being just a lighthearted rom-com. Mm-hmm. And I think that the music itself, while not a focal point, was cute and poppy and very 2010.
Oh yeah, totally.
So
Sterling Knight was Xander and Melissa and Joey. It's fine. He was there for a while. He played Melissa's niece's like boyfriend where they were like together for a long time and they broke up. He was like artsy fartsy and then like they got back together and like almost got married and
oh wow.
He was in
Hannah Montana. I might have to watch Melissa and Joey now. You talk about it a lot.
Oh, cute. It's so funny. It's so like plus it's got Joey Lawrence in it, and he takes his shirt off multiple times. you know how I am with Joey Lawrence.
The original boy crush.
Joey and Matt Lawrence. Joey was a little too old for me. He was quite older than me. I think we're the younger brother's age.
Yeah, I think we're around Andy's age.
I think that's like how it ended up, was like we're Andy's age, but still. He kept himself looking good.
Just remember, Sterling Knight is exactly a year older than you.
I know. I'm so excited.
Your birthday twinsies.
Yay.
All right. But anything else to add before we do final ratings?
No, I think we hit it pretty good.
All right. So out of 10, what are you going to rate Starstruck?
I think I'm going to rate it an 8.
All right. Pretty high.
Yeah.
I'm also going to give it a quite a high rating. I'm going to give it a 7.
There you go.
Like,
it's just cute.
It's cute. It's sweet. It's not trying to teach anything too hard hitting.
Right.
So it's and just like, enjoyable.
And like also too, what I liked about it, even though we already rated it, I just thought about it, is like a lot of these movies that we're rewatching have like plot lines to it, and you kind of know it going in. And like sometimes the plot lines are all over the place. You know, you can't really like, it's like they start with one plot, but then they end in like 7 different other storylines. But this just had like, you know, it was cute. It didn't really have like it kind of had a plot, but like the storyline was more free flowing and fun. And like, it wasn't anything too serious or too like, when you're watching it, you're like, why did this come from left field? It was all just kind of like, you know, fun. It was cute.
Yeah. All right. So that is it for Starstruck.
Nice.
Our next one, can you guess what it is?
Oh, Mom, I'm afraid. What is it? High School Musical?
No.
Okay.
It's the Suite Life movie. Right, so that was our discussion of Starstruck. As you heard at the end of that, our next one is going to be on the Suite Life movie. I've never seen it before, so I'm interested to see what this one's all about. I've heard some interesting things, so I'm excited to check that out. If you would like to join in the discussion, you can email us at watchingwfriendspod@gmail.com, or you can find us on our Instagram. And yeah, that is it for this episode. We look forward to seeing you next week, where we'll be discussing the next movie. Have a great day. Bye. Hey, no, no, no.